Paul Gallant and former Texans wide receiver Cecil Shorts in the house. 713-572-4610. You want to call or text in and weigh in on the big topic of the day. The Texans can give Jadeveon Clowney the franchise tag tomorrow. I think it's going to happen. I just don't know what's going to happen after that, after they give Jadeveon Clowney the franchise tag. And Cecil Shorts has said that he could see him maybe going the Le'Veon Bell route, sitting out for an entire season. I think if Jadeveon Clowney wants a long-term contract, it's not going to happen in Houston, and that's the way that he's going to have to go get it. Sit out for a whole year, end up somewhere else, and take it from there. We got a call in, 713-572-4610. We've got Fletcher. Fletcher, what's going on? You're on Mad Radio.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn about J.D. Clowney, I do think though that walking away from a franchise tag, he can do that like the other guy did, but you're also leaving what? Isn't a franchise tag like $16-17 million?
That's a lot
of money to leave.
That's true, Fletcher. And, you have to think about it from this perspective though. Like, if you've had four surgeries, you probably are thinking in the back of your head, if you're Jadeveon, man, it could happen again where I have another knee injury and maybe the contract that I thought I was going to get doesn't come, even if I play it on this one-year deal. It's a little different. Like, with Kirk Cousins taking the franchise tag year after year after year, man, quarterbacks are so protected. Like, it's very, in the rare exception of Alex Smith, like, having his leg essentially twisted into splinters, mm-hmm. like, it doesn't typically happen where a guy suffers a catastrophic injury like that as a quarterback.
And then, plus, you lose 16, but you'll gain what?
Yeah.
90-something, 100, exactly. 100 million. So
exactly.
You're taking, you know, give here, take there, so.
Anything
and then
else, Fletcher?
I just think they need to think about drafting a running back. It's not on a lot of the national mocks and stuff. That doesn't pop up very much. You know, they pop up safety. I don't know where that's coming from.
Well, I appreciate the phone call, Fletcher. I think running back is something that they will think about during the draft. I don't know where they go after it, though. I don't think it's high on the list of priorities for this team, though.
Yeah, I think you still want to see what Deontay Foreman can do. I think he still has potential. You want to see what he can bring to the table because he shows flashes his rookie year. So coming this year is kind of like, I took it as a redshirt year,
mm-hmm.
right? He did that with some coming back from the Achilles, didn't play until the end of the year, redshirt year. Let's see what he can do this year. But you might want to go out in free agency and grab one. There's a guy named Tevin Coleman out there I like a lot.
I like Tevin Coleman,
There's a guy named TJ Yeldon I like a lot. So
Le'Veon Bell.
It just depends. Oh, or Le'Veon Bell. Hey, yeah. Why not? You got the money for it.
So we're talking about Jadeveon Clowney, who might get the franchise tag starting tomorrow. Could happen tomorrow. Could happen a couple of weeks from now. But the Texans can determine whether or not they want to give him that on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And look, they should give him the franchise tag. You don't want this guy going to the open market. You don't know what's going to happen. Someone would throw him stupid money. You want to have him under your control. So it's going to happen. It's just a matter of what happens after that. So if you want to weigh in on that, 713-572-4610. We have a couple of interesting texts, too, on the text line. So if you put in 100%, a couple of people basically said he would be the best defensive player in the league. And I think that's the impression, Cecil, that the Texans coaching staff has of Jadeveon, that if you put in a little more work, he could be just so good. And they don't see that extra work. And they get frustrated with him because of it. And that's probably why right now they don't want to give him a long-term deal.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that. I think he's giving all he can. I think he's giving 100%. I just don't think it looks like the same as the J.J. Watt type. Because I think we get in comparison. How does J.J. work? He's the standard. If he's not working just like J.J., he's not working 100%.
I don't necessarily agree with that perception either, but I think that's what the coaching staff views Jadeveon as.
I think I agree with you.
You were there, and I'm sure that you saw young Jadeveon Clowney, a guy who, just by nature of being a young player in the NFL, especially being the first overall pick and being such a star at South Carolina and then having the weird, awkward season of waiting to get drafted that he did after he had that big hit against Michigan, which is where basically where everyone's like, yep, he's going to be the first overall pick. Like, there was some growing up for the guy to do. And I mean, you were there for some of those early growing pains.
Yeah, I was there for the late training room sessions, the late coming to meetings, the cussing out coaches, getting mad at this, and him battling with coaches. But that's what you get when you bring a 20-year-old in. I guess I shouldn't say that's what you get, but that's what he brought to the table. He was 20 years old and acting like a 20-year-old kid. And to me, he has matured so much since then. Is he where he needs to be? He's on his way.
Yeah.
I think he can be an all-pro year in and year out, and I think he's doing a great job of maturing. He's still got some maturing to do, but I think he's doing an awesome job.
There are important things to remember about him. I mean, a texter brought up, Texans defense was number one in the league without J.J. Watt and with Clowney in 2016. That was
very
a damn good defense.
Very true.
I mean, that defense frustrated the hell out of the New England Patriots in that postseason. It's just Brock Osweiler, the old Brock Lobster, was not good at all at quarterback in that game. And also, Will Fuller had a wide-open touchdown that went right through his fingertips.
Yeah.
Two more thoughts. One person asks, hey, could you trade him for a running back? Well, no, the Saints aren't going to trade Mark Ingram for Jadeveon Clowney because Mark Ingram is a free agent right now. But Mark Ingram should be a guy the Texans are looking at in free agency. And another person asks, what would Bill Belichick do? And another person, Clowney needs to be traded while you can find some sucker to do it. Okay. Well, what would Bill Belichick do in this situation? Cecil Shorts, I think that Bill Belichick would probably say, okay, I can get the most value that I possibly can for Jadeveon Clowney right now.
Yeah.
And
Jamie Collins, what he did with Jamie.
Right, exactly. So what is that? I don't know. Is it a second round pick? That's what Chandler Jones was traded for a couple of seasons ago. I think for somebody that is of Clowney's caliber of play, but hasn't had this kind of Khalil Mack statistical season that's out there, I would say probably a second round pick he's worth at the bare minimum. But would you be happy getting a second round pick in exchange for Jadeveon Clowney? I wouldn't be, actually.
No, not at all. And then I said Jamie Collins. It was Chandler Jones they traded, right?
Right.
Okay.
Jamie Collins too. Same thing. Second round pick.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I wouldn't be happy at all with second round pick. But if you're a Belichick, he's going to do that. And he's going to draft somebody. He's going to put him in. They'll fill in the role and they're going to win the Super Bowl. That's just what he does. He just figures out a way to use his guys and use them to their strength. That's why he is who he is.
A couple other texts. Clowney, he takes plays off. We see it during games. But when he doesn't take plays off, you know how good he is. Like, that's the weird conundrum that the Texans find themselves in. I mean, I go back to that Monday Night Football game against the Oakland Raiders in 2016. Mm-hmm. And he was an absolute terror. He was just disrupting the Raiders running game, play in, play out. And when I saw him play that game in a big time primetime spot against a pretty good football team, I thought to myself, you know what? Like, this guy's worth it.
Yes.
But the Texans don't view him that way. That's the weird place that we're at right now. And that's why I don't see them giving him the long term deal.
That's tough. Cause I honestly, to answer that text, take the good with the bad. Right, this year it was frustrating that he kept jumping off sides. Like, just watch the ball. What are you doing? But then when he did time it up perfectly, he was a disruptor like no other. So you got to take the good with the bad with him. And I think it's not smart to let him go.
I agree.
It's just not smart.
I agree. And
he's 25 years old, and the best football possibly is still in front of him.
I don't think they're going to let him go. But I also don't think that they view him as a player past this season.
Yeah.
And unless they're willing to slap him with a franchise tag back-to-back seasons, that's a lot of money. That's a big cap hit 2 years in a row. But it might be the smart approach, too, if you're the Texans. Hey, prove it this year. Oh, you prove it this year? Prove it next year. Clowney's just going to be ticked off if that's what they end up approaching the situation and doing in this situation. Cecil Shorts, former Texans wide receiver, Paul Gallant. It's Mad Radio on Sports Radio 610. Okay, so we know the offensive line for the Texans is not very good. We know that the cornerback group for the Houston Texans is getting older. I like Jonathan Joseph a lot, but
Jonathan Joseph, awesome.
I mean, that guy's a tough SOB.
Yes, he
but
is.
He is not the guy that I would say he was like 3-4 years ago. I think he would probably say the same.
Oh, he knows it.
Right.
But if you're gonna keep paying him,
right,
why not take the money?
why
not keep playing?
And not just that, I mean, like, he is, at the very least, he is competent out there.
Yes.
And that's the problem. You don't really have anyone after Jonathan Joseph that you can rely on. Sadly, AJ Boye, he goes on to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You should have extended him. You didn't.
Man.
Here you are. But the other position that the Texans should be looking at is the one that Cecil Shorts used to play. It's wide receiver. So Demaryius Thomas is gone. Mm-hmm. The torn Achilles. I suppose that there's a possibility that they could bring him back midseason or something like that if he is a healthy again. But that's a tough injury to come back from in your 30s.
Yeah.
Will Fuller and Kiki QT are always hurt. I believe you need a veteran wide receiver who knows what the hell he's doing out there.
Yes.
And I think really, the reason that I feel that way is watching Vincent Smith not knowing where he's supposed to be before plays. Cecil was just like looking back and forth, like with a shrug of his shoulders. Yeah, like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, I feel for Vincent Smith. I mean, I thought that he showed some promise. He's very fast. He's very speedy. But you want to have someone out there that you can trust. And, you know, to go back to what would Bill Belichick do? Well, what would Tom Brady do in a situation like that? You got a wide receiver like that. You can't know where he's supposed to be. Tom Brady's never going to throw that guy again, and the Patriots would probably find a way to, okay, this guy's gone. But you put together a list of free agent wide receivers that the Texans should go after. Give me some names, Cecil.
So with this list, it's not going to be the most popular names. It's going to be somebody I feel like is hungry for success. I mean, they're going to work extremely hard.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they're humble enough to understand their role, right? Because when you come here as a receiver, you already have your one and two, which is Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins. Well, flip the order, I'm sorry. DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller. And then you have the three in Kiki, who's in the slot. So if you come here as a receiver and the free agent, you have to know how to play inside and outside. But you understand, you're the number four receiver.
Yeah.
You're not the main target. So you have to be humble enough to accept that role, but still prepare each and every game like you can go out there and play.
How many guys would do that? Because that's a tough spot.
Not many. So if you hear these names, you'd be like, okay, I kind of get it. So first name I got is Chris Hogan.
Ooh.
31 years old. He'll be 32 this year, and you know him well, being a Patriots fan. He is the ultimate role wide receiver. Right, he started off in Buffalo. He comes here. Last year, he had 532 yards, and he basically was the number three, number four receiver. He was that role,
mm-hmm.
and he knows his assignment. He makes plays when the ball's thrown his way.
Big guy,
can play inside, can play outside, but understand he knows his role. It's not going to be an issue with him if he has to run down on kickoff or he doesn't get 30 targets a game, whatever the case. He can play this role, and he understands this is the best for the team.
Okay, so Chris Hogan, number one.
Chris Hogan's number one. Number two, I got Dontrell Inman.
Ooh.
Dontrell Inman, who we know well as being a Texas fan. He tore us up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
and actually, the last couple of times we played him.
You know, he's a solid player. He's been with the Chargers. He's been with the Colts.
Yes.
I wonder, though, after the season he had, Cecil, if he's going to fall into that number four kind of role, you know? Like, when he played that well, maybe he thinks that he could be a number two or something somewhere else.
Knowing him, because we actually came in Jacksonville together.
Oh, so you know him?
I know him. So he came in. I was drafted. He was a free agent. He was the same class in Jacksonville. Went through training camp, everything together. He is a very humble guy. He understands what's at stake. And he's 30, about to be 31 years old. We're the same age. So he went to the CFL for a couple years and then got picked back up by San Diego. And guess what? He was a number three and number four in San Diego. A couple years, one year he had 800 yards in San Diego because Keenan Allen and somebody else got hurt. Another year he had 500 yards because Keenan Allen and somebody else got hurt. So he understands his role. I also seen him run down on kickoffs. Also seen him play different stuff on punt.
Okay.
And you need that type of guy. You have to have a guy that's willing to play special
teams. So he does everything. Dontrell Inman. Okay. Chris Hogan, Dontrell Inman. Okay. I like, you sold me on Dontrell Inman. Okay.
Jermaine Kearse. No, mostly known for his days in Seattle with Russell Wilson. And again, he's a guy that, for me, it's big. It's hard to find receivers that understand and be humble enough to play that role.
Special teams, too.
And special teams. I've watched him run down and make the biggest hits on punt. And then
so he likes it.
He likes it. He enjoys it. He embraces the role. And that's kind of what Seattle, that culture brought to the table with Pete Carroll. But then again, you look at Green Bay, Seattle versus Green Bay a couple years ago in an NFC title game, and he catches the game-winning touchdown pass to go to the Super Bowl. So he's made big plays in big games. So that's why I like him. He's a bigger guy, can play inside, outside. 2 years ago, he had 800 yards for the Jets. And then last year, he dealt with some injuries. He had about 300, almost 400 yards last year. So my last two I'll go through quickly. And they're two of the – so those guys are 31, 30, and 29.
Okay.
Older veterans, wildly veterans. Now, 7-8 years around the league, between 6 and 8 years, and they are looking for, in my opinion, somewhere to win. Except for Chris Hogan, because he probably has won every year he's been in the league. Jordan Matthews and Rashard Matthews are my last two. Matthews, because he's a younger cat, but he knows the slot position well. With Kiki being hurt last year so much, with Will Fuller, you not knowing what – his future may be as far as injuries and come back from an ACL. He can play outside. He can play inside. He can run. He's a huge target. And when you throw it his way, he's going to catch the ball. He's going to make plays. He's a great run after the catch type of guy. Rashard Matthews, somebody that had some good years in Tennessee, maybe had a little bit of ego problems.
Yeah, he got frustrated.
Going on, got a little frustrated. Yeah. He wasn't getting the ball. But
also, Marcus Mariota's not good at quarterback.
You're playing with the Hawaiian Alex Smith. it can get a little frustrating in that offense. So I understand where he's coming from, but I think he can be a valid target here if given the opportunity.
All right. Well, that's a nice list that Cecil put together. So the Texans should go after a veteran wide receiver. Chris Hogan, Jordan Matthews, Jermaine Kearse, Dontrell Inman, Rashard Matthews as well. Coming up next, we've got some headlines. And Cecil and I have been talking a lot about what the Texans will do next with Jadeveon Clowney. They can give him the franchise tag starting tomorrow.